to Your Good Health Radio, brought to you by Choose for Health. Here are Melanie Cole, MS, and your host, Dr. David Friedman.
Our next guest is a New York Times bestselling author and internationally recognized speaker on nutrition, food safety, and public health issues. He's the founder of the science-based website nutritionfacts.org. Here to talk with us about his latest book, How Not to Die. Welcome to the show, Dr. Michael Greger. Here's Dr. David Friedman.
Doc.
So glad to be here.
Oh, I'm a big fan of your work, and it's great to have you on the show. We featured authors that have shared tips on weight loss, how to exercise, tips on cooking, natural ways to help arthritis, but not all of these books appeal to all of our listeners. However, your book, How Not to Die, now that's a topic of interest to every single person listening. Doc, how can we successfully battle the Grim Reaper?
Well, it's not how to not die, but how not to die, as in prematurely in pain after long chronic disabling illness. The good news is we have tremendous power over our health, destiny, and longevity. The vast majority of premature death and disability is preventable with a plant-based diet and other healthy lifestyle behaviors.
Right. Now, I know we talked before, and you told me you consider high blood pressure as public enemy number one when it comes to overall health of America. There's so much contradiction out there, Doc, as to the culprit. Some say cut down on salt. Some experts now say we need more sodium, too much fat in the diet. Some experts say we need more fat in the diet. What's your take on high blood pressure, and what are we doing wrong?
So now, high blood pressure is only our 13th leading killer here in the U.S. It is, however, the number one killer risk factor worldwide. But certainly contributes to, kidney deaths from kidney failure and stroke and heart disease. So it's important to bring down one's blood pressure. The number one cause is sodium intake. The American Heart Association has recommended 1,500 milligram limit for sodium every day. That is really, that's basically you eat no processed foods. Basically nothing, nothing kind of the center aisles of a grocery store, and don't add salt during cooking in the kitchen or at the dining room table. It is difficult to get down that low compared to considering how much junk food Americans eat. But when we're talking about life and death, it's certainly very important. Obviously, obesity is another issue. Obesity can raise blood pressure. But eating a healthful diet overall can help with that as well.
Great. Now, one thing you mentioned in the book for high blood pressure is to drink hibiscus tea, which you say actually offers better results than hypertensive medications. Is this something we can drink every day?
Yeah, so this was actually tested head-to-head against a leading blood pressure drug, a so-called ACE inhibitor drug.
Right.
So 2 cups of hibiscus tea every morning. Now, this was strong tea, so they used 5 tea bags to make those 2 cups. So those are pretty strong. But there's no caffeine. It's just really quite potent tasting. You can certainly dilute that down. But it was found to be as effective as the drug without the side effects, though they don't call it sour tea for nothing. You typically hear it called Roselle or sour Jamaica tea. Make sure to rinse your mouth out with water after drinking it, just so the natural acids don't hurt your enamel. I encourage, there's 2 types of tea that I encourage drinking, the herbal tea, hibiscus, as well as green tea if people want to choose a caffeinated tea.
Right. Now, we talk tea. What about coffee? I know a lot of doctors say get off of it, but there's so much research saying it actually prevents disease. What's your take on the morning Java?
Yeah, well, my chapter's on liver disease, depression, and Parkinson's. I talk about the benefits of coffee for the liver, mind, and brain. Coffee drinkers do seem to live longer, have lower cancer rates overall, but there are some populations that should stay away from coffee. Coffee may worsen acid reflux disease, bone loss, glaucoma, urinary incontinence, and high blood pressure. So if you have any of those conditions, I would encourage people to stay away from coffee. Bottom line is I don't recommend drinking coffee, not because it's bad, but because the opportunity cost. Every cup of coffee is a lost opportunity to drink something even healthier, a cup of green tea.
That makes sense. What about the other popular beverage out there, alcohol? Same thing. Research shows wine and other spirits can have health benefits, but some say it's bad for you. Are you pro or against drinking in moderation?
Well, everyone agrees that heavy drinking, drinking during pregnancy, and binge drinking are bad ideas. But what about moderate drinking? Well, there actually appears to be a beneficial effect on overall mortality by drinking some alcohol, but only, it seems, for those who are not taking good care of themselves as already. Researchers recruited close to 10,000 men and women, followed them for 17 years, and there was no benefit from alcohol for those that did not smoke, who exercised 30 minutes a day, and ate even just a single serving of fruits or vegetables daily. And so if you're a smoker and you're sedentary and you're eating a miserable diet, that alcohol can be beneficial. But for those even with a modicum of healthy behaviors, alcohol does not seem to be beneficial. So bottom line, grapes, barley, potatoes, best eaten in their non-distilled form, and Johnny Walker, no substitute for actual walking.
I love that. Johnny, skip the Johnny Walker and just be a walker.
There you go.
I like that. You know, so many people being diagnosed with prediabetes, I want to make sure we get your take on that. Is it reversible? What's it from? Is it proper improper diet?
Not only is prediabetes reversible, diabetes, type 2 diabetes, full-blown type 2 diabetes is reversible.
Great.
Even if you've had diabetes for decades, with a healthy enough diet, there's studies showing people can get off all their insulin in a matter of weeks. That's why it's critical, if one is going to eat a healthy diet and is on either blood pressure medication lowering medications or blood sugar lowering medications like insulin injections, they need to make this change with their doctor, because people underestimate the power of diet and lifestyle to radically alter the disease course. And so if all of a sudden you clear up your diabetes, you can't be on insulin with normal blood sugars. You drop your blood sugars too low, it could be dangerous. So your doctor has to wean you off these pills, wean you off the insulin until you can exist without it. How do you reverse prediabetes? How do you prevent prediabetes? It's all the same, and that is preventing insulin resistance. Insulin resistance is the cause of prediabetes and the cause of type 2 diabetes, and insulin resistance is caused by the buildup of saturated fats within our muscle cells themselves, something called intramyocellular lipid. These are saturated fat inside of our muscle cells, which interferes with their ability to use insulin, and so blood sugar builds up in the bloodstream and causes all sorts of problems to our eyes and our liver and throughout our nerves. And so the most important thing we can do is cut down our saturated fat intake. Now, some of that may be actually on our bodies, even if we're eating healthy. People who are obese have high levels of this circulating fat in our body, almost as if they're eating kind of a bacon and butter diet. So weight loss is important. So keeping the fat out of our bloodstream is the most important thing. And so that's weight loss and not stuffing it in our mouth.
Great. So you're basically off of breads. Is that also? I'm hearing that more and more from experts are saying all breads are a no-no.
Well, it's processed food, right? I mean, so we were never meant to have that kind of glycemic load so quickly into our bloodstream. If you think about natural foods, the way we evolved for millions of years, there's no such thing as flour, no such thing as powdered grains, even whole grains. Those carbs absorb very fast into our system. So ideally, not just whole grains. So definitely refined grains are off the table. Whole grains are better, but intact grains are even better still. So we're talking about, you know, something like oatmeal, where you actually eat the whole oats, not something like oat cereal, which is powdered oats, which is made out of oat flour. Same thing with breads. Better to eat actually the grains whole. But if you don't have problems with insulin resistance, triglycerides, weight, blood pressure, then flour products is fine as long as they're 100% whole grain.
Thank you so much, Dr. Greger, for sharing such great advice with us today. And to get your copy of How Not to Die, go to nutritionfacts.org. That's nutritionfacts.org. This website is the go-to place for any information you're seeking regarding health, diet, and nutrition. You can also stay up to date with all the latest health news by subscribing to Dr. Greger's newsletter. You can follow him on Twitter at @nutrition_facts. And for our daily health tweets, you can follow us at Dr. David Friedman. This is Melanie Cole with Dr. Friedman. Thanks so much for listening. Stay well.